Well, Merry Christmas. And as we celebrate our wonderful Christmas season, I'm so thankful for Father Chaz's gift this year, that the book on the theology of the body. A wonderful book. And if you, as mentioned earlier, if you have not picked up a copy yet, please do so and read it, because it's wonderful. It's an eye-opener to the beauty of marriage, family, sexuality, the whole counsel of God's plan. In a homily on his apostolic pilgrimage to Australia in 1986, Pope St. John Paul II said, "As the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live." So we could ask ourselves the question, how goes the family? I'll step outside for an outsider's view on this to comment, because this week I was in preparation, I stumbled upon a homily by Father Mike Lagrimas, a Filipino priest, and I decided to just copy it, you know, word for word, and no, I didn't decide to do that. He served for 18 years on the Manila Marriage Tribunal, working with families going through annulments and witnessing numerous failed marriages, hurting couples, painful family experiences, broken homes, confused and troubled children. And this all in a country where divorce is illegal. And he said about the United States, he stepped outside of his own country to view America, and he said, quote, "A lot of people still look up to America as the fulfillment of their dreams and hope for a bright tomorrow. But we must realize that though it may be a politically and economically strong country, yet internally it is a society standing on a shaky foundation. The reason is obvious. Family life is severely ailing, and it is on the verge of extinction. This is the bitter fruit of the reign of the culture of death, brought about by the plague of divorce, abortion, contraception, same-sex marriage, sexual promiscuity, and depravity, and many other anti-life programs," end quote. We could go on and add to this list, too. We could add transgenderism, gender dysphoria, the expansive growth of reproductive technologies such as in vitro fertilization, gestational surrogacy, cloning, and genetic engineering. And as wild as it may seem, some scientists claim that we're only about 3 years away from artificial wombs, biobags as they're called, a technology that could save a prematurely born child, but on the other hand, it could be used to house a child from conception to full term, conveniently eliminating the demands of pregnancy and childbirth. As Dorothy said, "Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore." We could say that, in a sense, in modernity, we have built a Tower of Babel in our attempt to recreate and redefine marriage and family in our own terms. As the Tower of Babel was built, they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and so make a name for ourselves." Notice the heavy self-reliance, self-determination, reaching for the skies to be our own God. But we do need God, because he has created us and he knows us better than we know ourselves. He has a plan for our lives, a plan for our sexuality, for marriage and family. And as we survey the landscape, I think we have pretty much demonstrated that we can't do this well on our own. In our time, our own time, we've been gifted from St. John Paul II in his theology of the body. He has laid out God's plan for love, sex, marriage in this great work. And it answers the question which long had seemed to be elusive to us of why. Why do we not commit adultery? Why do we not engage in other forms of deviations in God's order to our sexuality and our marriages? The theology of the body is a countercultural teaching today that cuts across the grain of I can do what I want with my own body. Although the theology of the body is way too vast to summarize, you know, even in a week seminar, let alone a homily, there are some principles I think are really significant to lay hold of here. And I hope this encourages you to pick up that book and make sure to read it. In theology of the body, we learn that we have been created for love. The mystery of God's revelation to us is nuptial from the very beginning in the garden to the very end in which the marriage supper of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem, descends from heaven. And there is a nuptial union with God and his people for eternity. We have been created male and female. We go back to our very source in the garden. Male and female, he created them. And love is willing the good of the other in giving. Lust is taking and using others. Our bodies have a spousal and nuptial meaning, showing that we were made for each other. And marital love mirrors Christ's love, a love which is freely given, a love that is total, as we see on the cross, a love that is faithful to the end, and a love that is fruitful in giving new life in abundant children in the family, something that we've somehow misplaced today. And when people see healthy, flourishing marriages and families, they see something of God himself. Because the family is the icon of the Blessed Trinity. Author Mark Shea writes, "Family is the oldest human institution, according to Revelation. Older than this state, the church, Israel, the patriarchs, goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve." The author of Genesis writes, "In the image of God, he created man, male and female, he created them. Male and female together express the image of God. And just as the union of love between the Father and the Son is a fusion of love so real that from it proceeds the Holy Spirit, so we see a sort of shadow of this in the union of man and woman, bringing forth children, family, in the image of a Trinitarian God. The family images in flesh what God is in spirit." And so today, as Father Chaz alluded to earlier, I would urge us all to pray for our marriages, pray for our families, in asking the intercession of the Holy Family for their divine assistance in this. The gospel today is a call to men especially. Joseph was called to be the protector and the guard of family life and the protection of Jesus and Mary as well. From the slaughter of the innocents, he risked everything and laid his life down for his family. Men need to do that. There's a hymn that captures this very well. It says, "Joseph, be our guide and pattern, faithful to your sacred trust, strong protector of the Virgin and the infant, Jesus Christ. Joseph, firm and faithful, guide us. Joseph, walk the way with us." Saint Joseph, holy and chaste, pray for us.